How are you liking the price of oil these days?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. OPEC seems satisfied with oil prices. The cartel meets today, and it's expected to keep production output right where it is. In fact, yesterday, the Saudi oil minister said the current price of about $70 a barrel was, quote, good for everybody. But with gas in some parts of the country costing $3 a gallon, reporter Ashley Milne-Tite wondered, is the current oil price really good for everyone?
Not necessarily. Stephen Lieb is chief economist at Lieb Capital Management.
I would rephrase it and say the current price is bad for everybody, but a different price would probably be even worse.
Lieb says today's gas prices may be lower than last summer's, but they're still relatively high, especially in a down economy. But he says if oil producers were to increase production, causing the price of oil to fall,
that would be good temporarily for U.S. consumers. But longer term, it would be terrible, because longer term, it would mean very, very little, if any, additional oil will come on stream.
He says that's because when oil commands less than $70 a barrel, oil producers usually won't invest in drilling and exploration. That would lead to an oil shortage in years to come. Others say higher prices would be better for the environment because they'd spur the development of alternative energy sources. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And oil is now about $71 a barrel as the dollar has fallen. Let us check the markets. European stocks are up about 0.5%. Asian markets dropped about 1% today. And on Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 56 points, closed at 9,497. Today, the Senate is likely to approve a proposal to get the government into the tourism promotion business. Ever since the September 11th terror attacks, almost exactly 8 years ago, border checks and passenger screenings have some potential overseas visitors feeling unwelcome here. John Dimsdale joins us live from Washington. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bill.
What would this Senate bill do?
It sets up a nonprofit corporation to coordinate all of the country's private sector tourism promotion programs. It could raise and spend as much as $100 million a year, assuming that the private travel industry matches that money. And it could bring in another 1.5 million tourists from abroad every year.
So it could raise $100 million. How would it do that?
It'll charge every foreign visitor that comes into the country on this visa waiver program, which is millions of travelers, a $10 fee. Now, that's being criticized as an unfair tax on tourists, and the European Union is threatening to slap a similar charge on U.S. visitors in retaliation. But the sponsors of the bill say, you know, it's really only a modest fee.
John, hasn't drumming up travel business in this country traditionally been a private enterprise?
That's right, that's right. And there are some critics in the Senate who say this is just another example of the government intruding into the private sector. But the travel industry itself has been lobbying for it, saying it's only fair since the Homeland Security screenings since 9/11 have discouraged visitors. And it does look like there's enough support in the Senate, which is likely to send the bill on to the House sometime today.
Okay, Marketplace's John Dimsdale, thank you.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. And by MassMutual, sponsoring the retirement planning documentary Retirement Revolution, September 15th on PBS. Local listings at PBS.org.
The new NFL season starts tomorrow, and this weekend, CBS will mark 50 years of broadcasting pro football. The TV networks pay the league more than $3 billion a year for the rights to air the games, but given the drop in the number of people who watch football, the NFL's TV cash cow might be a thing of the past. Here's Adam Allington with the story.
If you tick through a list of televised football firsts, CBS was often the network behind them. Whether it was the first color broadcast, instant replay, or the Telestrator, that crazy TV pen John Madden used to illustrate his signature booms and blocks for so many years.
They know that any time that Montana's going to run. It's going to be out here to the right. So they're going to bring him right here to get in Montana's face.
Together with play-by-play announcer Pat Summerall, Madden worked for CBS during the 80s and 90s, when football's popularity on TV knew no bounds. CBS found out just how valuable the NFL was after they lost it to Fox for 3 years in the 1990s.
Typically speaking, sports properties tend to be loss leaders, but they help cross-promote the heck out of other programming.
Patrick Riche is an associate professor of economics at Webster University in St. Louis. He says oftentimes networks actually lose money on the games themselves, but make it back in the form of higher ad sales on other shows.
So the real question is, do we think the sports property is going to generate enough revenue and ad sales from all of our other programming, whose ratings will hopefully be higher because we're cross-promoting using sports as a platform to do that?
But television ratings for NFL games have been slipping over the past decade. And because of league rules, any game that's not sold out within 72 hours of kickoff can't be broadcast locally. Early estimates say as many as 12 teams may face blackouts during the upcoming season. But CBS Sports President Sean McManus told reporters earlier this month that he doesn't expect the blackouts to create too much pushback from advertisers.
I don't like it when I get an email on Thursday morning saying here are the stadiums that aren't sold out. But we've lived with them in the past, and hopefully when the economy gets better, we'll go back to as many sellouts as we used to have.
Blackouts aside, football is still the most popular sport in the U.S. with some of the highest ratings. And this season, the QB comebacks of Michael Vick and Brett Favre might add just the right amount of drama to keep fans tuning in. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And finally, I'm sure all the artists who entered a New Zealand competition worked hard to win the $15,000 prize money. The winner was the one who collected the discarded scraps from the other entries, piled it up. He collected the money. The losing artists call it an insult. The museum director says it did get people talking about this competition. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in, and have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.